Here's Pastor Brian as he continues this week's study.
Welcome to the program today and all this week. We're continuing our study in the book of Daniel, which we actually started last week, looking at the prophecies that are contained in this book. And currently, we're looking at this fourth beast, which is recorded in Daniel chapter 7. And yesterday, we looked at the 10 horns, which are 10 kings, which will come out of the Roman Empire. We focused on the scriptures that relate to that topic. We want to move on from there and look at what Daniel describes as another horn that's separate from the 10 horns that rises up during this time period. And Daniel chapter 7, verse 24 reads this way, "The 10 horns are 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall arise after them. He shall be different from the first ones, and he shall subdue 3 kings." So here the Bible predicts that 10 kings are going to rise up out of the Roman Empire, and then after that, after they're in place, another king is going to rise up, and he is going to take the authority over these 10 kings. So what the Bible predicts here is that 10 kings are going to come together in the last days. They're going to form a nation. Then after that, a different leader is going to rise up, who we commonly call the Antichrist. He will rise up after them, and then we saw in the book of Revelation chapter 17 that these 10 kings yield their authority to this man. And in our study today, that's what we're going to be focusing on, is this little horn that rises up after the 10 who we call the Antichrist, what he's going to try to accomplish. What are the major themes which are applied to him within the scriptures? First of all, we need to note that the 10 kings rise up together first, and then after them, this other horn or this other king comes to power. So I believe that's what will take place. These 10 nations will come together, and then sometime after their nation, the Antichrist will take authority over their kingdom. And in the process, it says that, "And he shall subdue 3 kings." This phrase is a bit difficult to understand. What I would suggest to you is what happens is these 10 kings form a nation together, and then they're going to give their authority to the Antichrist at first. 3 of them really don't want to do that, but yet by force they'll submit to him and then willingly go along with the program. And that's a possible interpretation of the 3 being subdued. But ultimately, all 10 of them will yield their authority to the Antichrist. And then verse 25 describes what he'll do. It says, "He shall speak pompous words against the Most High." The fact that he speaks pompous words is recorded for us in 2 other scriptures. It's recorded in Daniel 11, verse 36, which reads this way, "Then the king shall do according to his own will. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god, shall speak blasphemies against the God of gods, and shall prosper till wrath has been accomplished, for what has been determined shall be done." So we see that this pompous words is relating to blaspheming God, discrediting the true God, and then also magnifying himself above every god. That is going to be the chief characteristic of the Antichrist. He will want to discredit the true God and replace himself as the one true God that is to be worshipped above all other gods. Another place this blasphemy is discussed is in Revelation 13, verse 5 and 6, which is, "And he was given a mouth," which is speaking of the beast or the Antichrist, "speaking great things and blasphemies, and is given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven." So the primary characteristic of the Antichrist is that he blasphemes God. And not only does he blaspheme God, he wants to declare himself to be the one true God. And there's 4 primary scriptures within the Word of God that discuss this fact that he is going to claim to be God and demand to be worshipped as God. And one of the main places we need to start is in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. And it says, "And he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week." The "he" is in reference to the Antichrist, and the 1 week in the context is in reference to a 7-year period. That's where we understand that the tribulation period is 7 years long. So for 1 7-year period, the Antichrist is going to form some sort of covenant to bring peace there to the Middle East. But it goes on to say, "But in the middle of the week," which would be at the 3.5-year point, "he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering." That means that within this covenant, the Jews are going to be allowed to continue their sacrificial system and worship the true God. But in the middle of it, he's going to cause that to stop. He's going to stop the sacrificial system and the offerings. Then the rest of verse 27 goes on to say, "And on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolates." That seems to be a mouthful, but the word abomination means an offense to God, and then "one who makes desolate" means an abomination which brings in destruction. So that's what's going to happen at the middle point of the tribulation period. The Antichrist is going to stop the sacrificial system, commit an abomination, which will bring in ultimate destruction. In order to understand what this abomination of desolation is, or how the Antichrist claims to be God, there's several scriptures in the New Testament that we'll look at. The first one is found in Matthew 24, verse 15, which says, "Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet," that clues us into what we just read in chapter 9, verse 27 of Daniel, where there's a covenant that's made for 7 years, but in the middle of the week, the Antichrist, the beast, is going to commit the abomination of desolation. And this is what Daniel is predicting. And then Jesus goes on to describe it for us a little bit. It says, "Standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand." So here we're given added detail that the abomination of desolation relates to something or someone standing in the holy place, which would be a reference to the temple. That's why we tie it into Daniel 9:27, where the sacrificial system comes to an end. And when the Antichrist stops the sacrificial system, he commits the abomination which brings in destruction, and he will literally be standing in the holy place or in the temple and stop the sacrificial system. That's why Jesus goes on to say in verse 21 of Matthew 24, "For then there'll be great tribulation such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be." And that's what he means, the desolation. It's going to bring in destruction. So those last 3.5 years of the tribulation period are going to be intense, more intense than the first 3.5 years, and will bring in destruction because God is going to pour out his wrath during that time on a Christ-rejecting world. And it's going to be like no other time period, culminating in the return of Jesus Christ to squash all of his enemies, where he'll set up his kingdom that'll last forever. Also interesting, in Mark chapter 13, verse 14, which is a parallel passage to Matthew 24, it reads this way, "But when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountain." So here it's, again, an image or a person standing where it shouldn't. And in order to understand this completely, again, we have the principle of let the Bible interpret the Bible. Paul gives us added detail in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 on exactly what this abomination of desolation is. He says this, "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition." That's the little horn. The man of sin, the son of perdition, is a little horn of Daniel chapter 7. He's the beast of Revelation 13 and 17. Here he's called the man of sin, the son of perdition. And then it goes on to describe what he will do as consistent with all the other scriptures we read. Verse 4 says, "Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." And that is the abomination of desolation, where the Antichrist stops the sacrificial system, goes into the temple, shows that he is God or claims that he is God, and then demands to be worshipped as God. At that point, Jesus said, "Get out of Judea, get out of the Jerusalem area, because that's when great destruction is going to come upon that land," specifically focusing on that territory. The tribulation period will affect the entire world, but there's going to be a focus there in Israel. One final scripture that speaks of the Antichrist demanding to be worshipped as God, it also supplies us a little more detail on the subject, is Revelation chapter 13, verses 15 through 18. In the context of these verses is another beast that rises up from the land, who we commonly call the false prophet, will work in conjunction with the Antichrist. And it says in verse 15 following, "He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is the wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of man. His number is 666. So here it describes the false prophet is going to have power to give breath to the image of the beast so that everyone's going to worship the beast. And in order to show their allegiance to the beast, they're going to receive a mark on their body showing that they do truly worship him as God, that he is their savior, and they're not able to buy or sell without this mark or name or number upon their body. And those who will not worship the Antichrist as God will be put to death. So here we see that the main characteristic of the Antichrist is that he is a blasphemer against God and that he claims to be God and demands to be worshipped as God. And that worship will primarily relate to the sacrificial system that the Jews will reestablish. That'll come to an end, as we've seen in the book of Daniel. And replaced with that sacrificial system will be the Antichrist saying, I am God. He'll go into the temple, claim to be God, and demand to be worshipped as God. And that's the primary agenda that the Antichrist will have. In our next study in the book of Daniel, we'll continue on with the role of the Antichrist, looking at the fact that he's going to persecute the saints of the Most High, and then that reference in Daniel, which speaks of a times, times, and a half a time. We'll understand that in light of other scriptures.